The Air Lords of Han by Philip Francis Nolan. Chapter 1. The Air Lords Besieged. In a previous record of my adventures in the early part of the Second War of Independence, I explained how I, Anthony Rogers, was overcome by radioactive gases in an abandoned mine near Scranton in the year 1927, where I existed in a state of suspended animation for nearly 500 years, and awakened to find the America I knew had been crushed under the cruel tyranny of the Air Lords of Han, fierce Mongolians who, as scientists now contend, had in their blood a taint not of this earth, and who, with science and resources far in advance of those of a United States economically prostrate at the end of a long series of war with a Bolshevik Europe in the year 2270 A.D., had swept down from the skies in their great airships that rode repeller rays as a ball rides the stream of a fountain, and with their terrible disintegrator rays had destroyed more than four-fifths of the American race, and driven the other fifth to cover in the vast forests which grew up over the remains of the once mighty civilization of the United States. I explained the part I played in the fall of the year 2419, when the rugged Americans, with science secretly developed to terrific efficiency in their forest fastness, turned fiercely and assumed the aggressive against a now effete Han population, which for generations had shut itself up in the 15 great Mongolian cities of America, having abandoned cultivation of the soil and the operation of mines, for these Hans produced all they needed in the way of food, clothing, shelter, and machinery through electrono-synthetic processes. I explained how I was adopted into the Wyoming gang, or clan, descendants of the original populations of Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and the Wyoming Valley in Pennsylvania. How quite by accident I stumbled upon a method of destroying Han aircraft by shooting explosive rockets not directly at the heavily armored ships, but at the repeller ray columns which automatically drew the rockets upward where they exploded in the generators of the aircraft. How the Wyomings threw the first thrill of terror into the Air Lords by bringing an entire squadron crashing to earth. How a handful of us in a rocket ship successfully raided the Han city of New York, and how by the application of military principles I remembered from the First World War, I was able to lead the Wyomings to victory over the Sinsings, a Hudson River tribe which had formed a traitorous alliance with the hereditary enemies and oppressors of the white race in America. By the spring of 2420 A.D., a short 6 months after these events, the positions of the yellow and the white races in America had been reversed. The hunted were now the hunters. The Hans desperately were increasing the defenses of their 15 cities, around each of which the American gangs had drawn a widely deployed line of long gunners, while nervous air convoys, closely bunched behind their protective screen of disintegrator beams, kept up sporadic and costly systems of transportation between the cities. During this period, our own campaign against the Hans of New York was fairly typical of the development of the war throughout the country. Our force was composed of contingents from most of the gangs of Pennsylvania, Jersey, and New England. We encircled the city on a wide radius, our line running roughly from Staten Island to the forested site of the ancient city of Elizabeth, to First and Second Mountains, just west of the ruins of Newark, Bloomfield, and Montclair, thence northeasterly across the Hudson and down to the Sound. On Long Island our line was pushed forward to the first slopes of the hills. We had no more than four long gunners to the square mile in our first line, but each of these was equal to a battery of heavy artillery, such as I had known in the First World War. When their fire was first concentrated on the Han city, they blew its outer walls and roof levels into a chaotic mass of wreckage before the nervous yellow engineers could turn on the ring of generators which surrounded the city with a vertical film of disintegrator rays. Our explosive rockets could not penetrate this film, for it disintegrated them instantly and harmlessly, as it did all other material substance with the sole exception of inertron, that synthetic element developed by the Americans from the sub-electronic and ultronic orders. The continuous operation of the disintegrators destroyed the air and maintained a constant vacuum wherever they played, into which the surrounding air continuously rushed, naturally creating atmospheric disturbances after a time, which resulted in a local storm. This, however, ceased after a number of hours, when the flow of air toward the city became...